Hello, you guys. Welcome to the first episode ever of Hope for Romantic Podcast, where we're here to love like Jesus, where we're here to get better, where we are here to just learn more about theology, self-love, psychology, and even personal development. I wanted this to be a really good, safe place, but the pinnacle of this all is Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about your girl. It's not about your boy. It's not about any of that. And it's not about me being an influencer or none of that. It's about me being a child of God. So I'm going to give you what he gave me. And if that's not good enough, I don't know what's going to help you, chicken head. But I really wanted to give a formal introduction to what Hope for Romantic mean and what it stands for. And basically, this is the embodiment of Jesus's main commandment. There was a group of people called the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They came up to Jesus and they were like, what was your main commandment? What did you want us to do? What is going on? What y'all doing? You know, like whenever you see somebody, for example, whenever I was in school, I used to see the Boys and Girls Club, the people that stayed after school and they got snacks and then they got like carpool, ride home, whatever. I used to just be like, wait, what's going on? Like, what are you doing? What are y'all doing? And I think that eventually I was just like, oh, well, I think that they're just here as an extracurricular to help the people. But basically, Jesus told them this. He basically said, so hearing that Jesus had silenced the Pharisees and the Pharisees and the Sadducees got together, one of them, an expert in the law, basically a Pharisee is like a tryhard. They're the type of people where they try so hard to keep the law. They want to keep the word of God. They want to keep it. It's like they're trying to get to know the word of God, but they just want to know the word and they don't want to know God. How many people do you know that want to go to church and that want to say, don't do this and don't do that, but don't even know God? Clock it. Clock that T. We ain't doing that on this podcast. We're going to be in the word and we're going to know God. Yeah. Okay. So a Pharisee, basically, I put it as like a tryhard that would see Jesus, but they wouldn't really catch him. People who tried hard to keep the law. A Sadducee was similar. They were still very trained in the law. However, they did not believe in the things of the spirit. They're also very tryhard, rich snubs. It's like, I'm political and like, I know about the law. And like, it's like when people are like, super into their jobs and upkeeping everything, but they're like, well, yeah, like, what are you guys doing over here? Like, I heard about this Christian thing and like, I know a lot about it, but like, who is Jesus? I don't know if that's how that really is, but yeah. So basically, Jesus answered them because they said, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Because the Pharisees basically wanted to embody everything all at once. They wanted to keep all 669 laws. Imagine how tiring that would be. They didn't get the revelation that Jesus came to fulfill the law. So when you walk with Jesus, you are stepping into the law and fulfilling it, not trying to upkeep it, but you let Jesus be the one that fulfills it. Okay, so it says, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, love me with all your heart, all your soul. That's what Jesus basically told them. With all of your mind. Bring your mind, your will, and your emotions into the being of, I'm a child of God and I love God. This is the first and greatest commandment. But Jesus answered this question in two parts. So it just goes to show that if you try to do one without the other, you're not really doing it because it's incomplete without it being a congruent way to follow what he's saying. So Jesus said, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as you love yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And so whenever I was researching this, I was watching this video by Dr. Miles Monroe, and a lot of people misinterpret what that means. Whenever he says, love your neighbor as you love yourself, you have to realize that if you don't love yourself first, you cannot love anybody else. A lot of Christians and people will self-sabotage to the point and the extent of them just giving and trying to be this person that is humble, but they're doing it out of false humility and they're not really embodying the love of God. You have to receive the revelation of God's love for yourself first, and then from that place, you humble and you submit yourself to the needs of other people. Because if I don't get God for me, how am I going to get God for you? Because you ain't going to be getting God. You're going to be getting a version of me that is trying to upkeep who God is, but I don't know him. It's a version of me that's trying to hold on to the law, but I'm trying to give you the rules, but I don't know who the ruler is. It's a version of me that's trying to give you a pamphlet to the kingdom, and I don't know the king. See, that can't work. So self-love is very big in Christianity and in following Jesus, because you have to get love from God to embody it in self. And as you embody that love in yourself, and when you see yourself the way God sees you, then you are able to give to someone else. It reminds me of, I remember I went to this this mindset convention, and a man said something to me that was so interesting. He said, how can I, how can I give you a shirt? That's not what he said. What am I talking about? He said, don't take a shirt off a naked man's back. Don't give something you don't got. Hello, somebody. Okay, so basically, I wanted to introduce the love of God in all ways that I can, while also equipping people in the body of Christ to just live and walk their walk. And I don't want you to just walk the walk. I want you to walk the walk, talk the talk, walk the walk, talk the talk. Okay, so today's topic is the idolatry of inadequacy. And that may sound like a lot of big words, but at the same time, this is going to bless you. Just close your eyes right quick and say, God, make my heart soft. Let me really get what the word is trying to word. Okay. So it says, I looked up the definition of inadequacy because I wanted to give people definition. I don't want you to just go based off of my revelation of what inadequacy is. I want, if you weren't listening to this and you heard the word inadequacy and you looked it up online, this is what you would get, because you're gonna be able to look me up everywhere. Hope for Romantic, all platforms. Go. Okay. Inadequacy. If someone has feelings of inadequacy, they feel that they do not have the qualities and abilities necessary to do something or to cope with life in general. Inadequacy in my own, like, how has it shown up in my own life? It showed up in numerous of ways, every way possible. I just was like, oh my gosh, I just never felt good enough to do anything. Like even when it comes to this podcast, I was super kind of like, man, I don't know what I'm talking about. Man, am I even close enough with God? Man, like, I don't even get the Bible sometimes, man. Like, I miss the mark in so many ways. It's so easy for us to get caught up in the things that we do wrong that we miss God in completeness. Because when God calls you to something, he's not calling the version of you that can do it without him. He's calling the version of you that is going to do it with him. If he's going to call you to something, that means he's there with you. He's calling you to him. He's calling you to the plan he has for your life. He's not calling you to a destination where he's not at. What I love so much about Psalms 139, it talks about how even if you make your bed down in hell, or even if you get so high up in heaven, or even if you are off to like a remote island, you still cannot escape the presence of God. So when God is calling you, he's taking you from where you are by yourself, in your head, in your mind, in your body, in your soul, and he's bringing you and he's drawing you closer to him. And that's what I love so much about God. But I just thought that I had to have like 4 degrees in systematic theology, a degree in slap your mama, a degree in robotics and psychology. Like, what? Like, God really said it's the faith with the size of a mustard seed that will move a mountain. He ain't say go and get the faith the size of a mountain. How you gonna go get the faith the size of a mountain if you don't even know what the faith of the mustard seed look like? You got to be able to move when you just don't get it. You got to be able to move when you have really no faith. You got to be able to move and groove and move around and move it. Like, I remember whenever I used to be in, I remember it was this period of my life where I wanted to really do basketball and I really wanted to be good at it. But in order to be great at something, you got to suck first. Like, I sucked. Like, I used to go outside every day, though, with my with the people in my neighborhood. And I would give it all I got. I would airball. I would try to shoot deep threes because, you know, when Steph Curry was out. Can I get an amen, y'all? Because when Steph Curry was making it with the Warriors, I said, wait, cross him up, cross, cross, cross. And then I would be getting the game, and my coach would bench me because what? Like, imagine God calls you in and he say, okay, I see where you are deficient at, but I know that with me you can do all things exceedingly abundantly. You can do it all. But in your mind, you're like, okay, God, like, I still know I need development. And God is not negating the fact that you need development. We all need development in some areas. But you get in the game and you go and shoot in an area you're not fully developed at, and you're not also relying on him as well. You just want to get in the game and say, well, God, whatever. I'm going to just go throw it up a three. God ain't telling you to go throw up no three. Go sit your tail down. Okay. But, like I said, I put this in my notes. I said, but we can sometimes be so narcissistic that we don't realize that when God is calling us to something, he is calling us to rely on him to lead the way. Oh, my gosh. Like, it's been, wow. But I want to give you guys some Bible, because Bible is where I'm going to get my sources from. The Bible has been my ultimate peace, and it's also been giving me so much insight on a lot of the things that I go through. Okay, so I was in 1 Samuel, and so basically in 1 Samuel, there is this chosen people, God's chosen people, the Israel. Israel is comprised of 12 tribes. At this time during during this time of the text, Israel was being ruled over by a prophet named Samuel. And basically, a prophet is the mouthpiece of God, a person who has a deep intimacy with God, and they tell the people what God tells them. They basically are like, okay, God, like, God is like this to them. And then they put their ear right there like this. Oh, okay, God, what you say? Okay. And now God is saying, okay, go tell that to my people. And so that's basically their job. They are, even in this, you can see the king priesthood of Samuel, the version of him that's close to God in his spirituality, but also the version of him that stands tall in leadership to people. But at the same time, when I realized that with Samuel, what I love so much about Samuel throughout this text was that not only did I see him as this prophet, that he was very accurate when he would predict things, or he was very accurate when he was very intimate with God. But at the same time as his intimacy with God, he was also standing very tall in the way he would lead people. But he was also submitted. So it's not good enough to just be big and have all of these followers and just doing all of this stuff if you're not submitted to some. Who are you submitted to? Listen, I want you to go look through your following and look at all the influencers you follow. Look at everybody and see who are they submitted to. Are they submitted to Instagram? Are they submitted to TikTok? Are they submitted to crystals? Are they submitted to manifestation or the evil eye? Go see what they are submitted to. And then you come back to me and then you say, well, this is who they submitted to. Whoever they submitted to, that's who you submitted to. Okay, wait, crazy. Okay. Okay, during his later years of being a prophet, basically Samuel was getting old. So as the older Samuel got, the more the people were kind of being like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Whatever, whatever, whatever. Okay, during this time and for a long time, Israel was fighting with a lot of neighboring countries. So they were going back and forth. They were just like, I'm going to fight you. I want to fight you. I'm going to fight you. Like, you know, like whenever you see somebody just always in conflict with something and there is nothing really like standing up, basically, let me pull it all the way in. And now, initially, Samuel's sons was supposed to be the heir to what he was doing. But they were just out there thugging, doing their own thing, doing whatever they wanted to do, trying to rule over people, but also trying to like, they were trying to rule over people, but at the same time, they were just doing stuff they had no business doing. How many times do you see people that is called to lead, that is trying to lead people but doing stuff they have no business doing? I just love saying how many times. Okay. This is what I wrote down, and this was so good, like in my notes. But it says, you can't expect people to listen to you when you are saying one thing and doing another thing. Another reason why I have a different level of confidence in even making Christian content is that to a certain extent and to a big part of me, I am submitted to God. And I'm not only submitted to God for the glory, I'm not only submitted to God for the blessing, I'm not submitted to God for the breakthrough, but I'm submitted to God simply because I love him and he loves me and it's a relationship. And also, I know that there is protection in his commandments, and God is not going to call a version of me that is disobedient to him that is going to lead his people. That doesn't make sense, because I need to get, what is God saying right now? What is the strategy for this? What is the strategy for the podcast? How do you want me to roll it out? When do you want me to post it? When do you want me to start doing it? Where do you want me to go to in the word? What are the prayer points? Just all of those things you have to take into mind when you're when you're stepping out in faith to do something for God. Because we a lot of the times people make plans and they be like, well, I'm going to make these plans, but I'm going to still do it how I want to do it. But God, you're number six on the list. Like, whatever, God. But let me get back to my notes. It says, so as the people started to see the way that that Samuel's sons were acting and were acting like hooligans, then they were like, okay, wait. What's going on here? I don't want it. Samuel, you getting old as a bag of rocks. You old. But at the same time, your kids are out here at the club drinking Casamigos. And so the people were like, listen here, Samuel, we don't want you no more. We need a king. And they wanted a king. This is what I wrote. So the people demanded a king because the countries they were up against had a king. But they didn't realize that they had God on their side, the king of the universe, the Lord of lords, the host of hosts, El Shaddai. So I want to touch on one thing right quick. How many times do we all just be like, God, I seen what you did for her. I see what they have. I see what you're doing in their life. Because it looks shiny, because it looks like it's a good thing, we all kind of just be like, well, God, I need that too. And a lot of people don't even have the discernment to know if that thing even came from God. These people had a king, but they also were their enemies. You don't think the kingdom of darkness have kings? You don't think that? You don't think that the reason why you shouldn't be comparing yourself to other people is because you don't know who is supplying that person's needs. So God is like, keep your eyes on me and stop looking around, because a lot of things that look good are not always God. Yes, the neighboring countries, yes, the Amorites, I think that's the name of them. Yes, they had a king, but they also are the people that are up against you. Why are you trying to be like your enemies? Why are you self-sabotaging yourself to the point to where you're like, okay, well, what I have is not good enough, so what I need is what this other person has. That makes no sense. And I fell victim to that too. I kind of would see people on social media. I would see people just out in life, and I would say, "Well, God, they out drinking at the club, drinking Casamigos, drunk in love like that. But they have a nice car, and so God, I want that." And God is like, their lifestyle is directly opposite of my word. So what makes you think that I'm just out here saying, you get a car, 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 you get a car. Stop playing with God. Just because you see somebody having something good, that doesn't necessarily mean it's God. Let's keep going. Okay. They were so caught up in their enemies, and they were so caught up in not wanting God that they rejected him ultimately. Because think about it, if Samuel is a prophet and he is the mouthpiece of God, and he is a person that is in direct intimacy with God, wouldn't that make much more sense to want him leading you versus the person that looks like a king and talk like a king, but really they don't walk the walk and talk the talk. The person that don't have the insides, but they have the outsides. The person that looks like they are blessed, but internally they're still depressed. Can I be honest with y'all? On social media, we want to look up to Kim Kardashian. We want to look up to all of these people. And I'm not saying nothing about Kim. That's not the point. But you don't know her enough to know if she is looking how she look, but if her soul looks the same exact way. Because the only way your soul is in good standing is not about what you do good. It's about being in relationship with God. So you have to take into account, okay, all of these people I see on social media, yeah, they look good. Yeah, they look clean. Yeah, they got that money. Yeah, I'm going to get that money. That's all this generation want to talk about is that money. Oh! But you are looking up to all of these people and you don't even know who they are, how they walk the talk. Okay, let's keep going. They were so caught up in their enemies that they forgot about Psalms 18. Psalms 18, this is verse 1. It says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. And what's so crucial about that, about this this text is that when we call on the name of the Lord, we're not like this looking around like, okay, God, like you finna show up and show out, like do your big one. No, when you are in a posture of prayer and pursuit of God, you have your eyes closed. You are like this, taking them deep breaths, and you're like, Lord, I don't know how you're gonna show up, but I know you will show up. I don't know how you're gonna help me in this situation, but I know you're gonna show up. And you depend on your faith, but you don't depend on the carnality of a situation. You don't depend on what you see in your eyes. I would get so caught up in wanting God to show up in my life, but only wanting him to show up in the way that I wanted him to show up. I would look at my situation and then I would box the Almighty, I would box the Most High God into my situation and say, well, God, I want you to express yourself through this way. I want you to be this type of king. I want you to come because in the physical, I feel trapped. And God is like, I'm much bigger than that. And I am a rock. I am a fortress. I am a deliverer, but I'm not going to always do it the way you want me to do it. So I may not show up as a king, but I will still show you and teach you a lesson throughout all of this. Basically, that's what he did with the people of Israel. Okay. So, but I empathize with the people because sometimes it is easier to just want what other people have, to just watch a sermon than to pray to God. Or when I'm going through something, to just say, hey, God, just speak to me. To me. We get so caught up in what other people are doing that we feel like we need what they need. But the truth of the matter is we only need God. You don't need all you need. Listen to me. Listen to my words. Listen to this podcast. You don't need me. All you need is God. All you need is God. All. Unshadidaba. You don't need a high credit score. You need God. You don't need a boyfriend. You don't need a girlfriend. You need God. You don't need a house. You need God. And then when you walk in the knowing that God is with you and he is for you, then you are able to walk out the word God have given you. For me, for example. Well, let me keep going first. We pray to God for things in his hand, but not for his heart. Let me look to the left and look to the right for that one right quick. Because let me say that one more time, because that's a word. We pray to God for the things in his hand, but not for his heart. You wanted a king, but you didn't want God. And just like the people in Israel, that's what we all do. And I'm about to give you my own example. For me, I remember when I first started social media, I wasn't fully relying on God. I was like 16. I was kind of like, man, I yap a lot already. I just yap. And so whenever I would yap at school and I would make people laugh, I would just be like, okay, God, like I see all of these people on TikTok making them videos, getting that money. Hey, somebody in the comments say, yeah, I was trying to get that money, money, money. Girl! Okay, listen though. I was so enthralled with the ability to make videos and for to get attention. I said, wait, God, sign me up. I already talk too much during class. Hello, somebody. Hello. So as I was just talk so much during class, I was just like, God, like, I could do this. And I know I'm not following you. I know I'm not in the cut with Jesus and I'm vibing, but I'm going to still pray and I'm going to see what you do. And lo and behold, y'all, when I started to pray, y'all, them followers came in. Jesus said, you in the cut with yourself and you wildin'. And then little by little, I realized I started to gain them followers. But what was so interesting about my journey is throughout that process of gaining followers, I was still praying to God every day. I was like, God, give me creativity, God. God, I don't know why you called me to this, but God, give me creativity, and I know you're going to show up. And then I started making 16 videos a day, 16 videos a day, 16, boom, boom, boom. I had 1 million followers in like 5 months. Oh, I was like this, yeah, yeah, hips, God, hips, hips. And then when I started to say, wait, I'm funny, I could do this by myself, the followers said, wait, you're going to grow, but you ain't going to grow as fast. I personally believe that if I was locked in with God and I said, God, give me creativity, let's go. 10 million followers, 20 million followers, but it would have been built off of the reliance on God. It wouldn't have just been built in my own strength. See, the start of my platform was built on the reliance on God. I just told God, I want a place to express myself and to be myself. God didn't judge me from that place. God is not saying, don't come to me and be like, oh, I need this, this, and that. I need to be perfect. No, God wasn't saying that. God was like, okay, just come to me, be yourself, do your thing, do your thing. Okay, but throughout this journey, I'm going to process you and change you. So during that place, I wasn't really like praying every day, but I was praying for creativity. And my prayers, I had some sweet, innocent prayers during that time, even though I was a hooligan. My prayers would go like this at the end of the night. I would say, hey, God, how are you doing today? Can you just bless everybody in the whole world that's going through my situation? And God was like, that's it? You don't want to see how I'm doing? What happened to hey? What happens when God say, what happened to hey? Hi, how are you? Hello? Or do you just want to bless, bless, bless? So I would go to God's on those 2 weeks to pray for other people and to pray for creativity. But really, I was just praying for other people just because, like, I was going through the situation. That's selfish. Okay. And at the time, I wasn't making godly content, but at the same time, God didn't judge me. He let me be myself. I was praying for ideas, but then I was cursing online. Okay, back on track. The text says, 1 Samuel 8:5-6, it says, then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, look, you have grown old and your sons do not walk in your ways. Oh, no. Yeah, you the preacher, but yeah, your son is in the back having sex with the people. Now appoint us a king. Go get somebody that's in the hood that has the anointing that will want to be built up and let him judge over us like all the nations. Because your kids, can we be honest? Them PK kids, oh, them kids be kids. Like your dad just preached a message. Your dad just wiped the floor. Your dad just preached a message like T.D. Jakes. And your son is behind the church smoking a blunt. But that's what the text. See, listen, this is all in the text. It says, look, you have grown old and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint us a king to judge us, rule over us like all the nations. And then I said this, y'all. It's easier to want other people than to listen to God. That is another reason why people would rather be in step with the man ruling them than God. Because if a man tells you to do something, you can do it. You will do it. If your dad, if the teacher, or if, oh wait, let me put it in this. When you are in like a group of people, and it's a bunch of y'all little kids, you know how y'all be. And they say, bruh, like, man, you don't get no girls. you don't get no girls. Go get you a girl. Mm-hmm. And you're like, and you're trying so hard to prove a point because you like, you're insecure. You're trying to prove a point. Okay. And you're like, man, I can get girls. And you go get your girl and you go do the thing and you go stick it in. Okay. It's easy for that to happen because it's like, yeah, that's just life. That's what people always say. I'm not perfect. It's just life. But when God tell you to do something, you roll your eyes and catch a fit. When God say, can you wake up at 5 a.m. and pray? You're like this. What's going on? And I'm here to let you know that you got to stop that. Stop waiting for a man to do. That had nothing to do with that, but that was still a word for somebody. But okay, we're going. I said those people were brats. I was a brat too, though. And also, too, this is the part where I talk about idolatry. Idolatry essentially means the worship of someone or something other than God as though it were God. And so the people of Israel were so focused on where they fell short that they realized that in the places that you are inadequate and even the places that you stand tall, you need God still. Still and still, through and through, you need God. You just need God. You need him. And so the idolatry of it is you can start idolizing your need over your need for God because God is made perfect in where we are weak at. That's Bible. God blesses those who depend on him and they belong to the kingdom of heaven. That's Bible. And then I think it's Proverbs 3:5 where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, not what you perceive, not what you have gotten revelation of. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. So you need God. You need him. You need him. You need him. No matter how you try to dress up or dress it down, you need him. That's basically the central message of this. But okay. It said, and then I put this right here. I said, when you focus on where you fall short, you go to God and ask for something in place for him. You go ask for the king. You go ask for the loan. You go ask for the house. You go ask for the blunt. You go ask for the bottle of Casamigos, getting on my nerves. You go ask for all of that stuff. And you don't realize that essentially you need your soul to be healed. You need God to touch you in an area where you feel like nobody gets you. You need God to be your father. You need God to heal the father wounds. You need God to heal the areas where you were molested. You need God to heal you because you don't realize that your act of rebellion towards him is just sometimes a direct indication that trauma has gotten into your soul and contaminated you in some way that it makes you rely on him. And anytime you don't rely on God, you let insecurity drive the bus instead of letting God drive the bus. So even the things that may look good in your insecurity will not lead you down the straight path. That's why God said, only I can make your path straight. You can't make your path straight. I used to be very big into self-help, and I was just like, well, God, when I first came to God, I remember reading this book by Jenny Allen. It was called Get Out of Your Head, and I thought it was a psychology book. So I said, I'm about to get this book, and I'm going to about my business, and I'm about to read my Buddhist book, Buddhism, because I'm Buddhist. That's what I used to say. And I was serious. I was so serious. And then I was just like, God, yeah, I remember I got home, and it's in one of my vlogs on YouTube, but I remember I got home and I said, wait, y'all, this is like, I think I said like, this is a psychology book. I need psychology. Yes, you do. Yeah, psychology is good. Yeah. I was trying to make my own crooked path straight. And then I opened up that book by Jenny Allen, and then it started talking about Peter walking on the water, Peter being dependent, taking thoughts captive. I said, wait, this is Christian stuff. I don't want that. But the book was so captivating that my soul needed that. Like, my soul needed God more than I needed God. In my carnality and in my physical, I was searching for something, but in really, I didn't know that I was searching for God. And that part of you that aches down deep in you, that part of you really just wants God. And that part of you that want to smoke that blunt, that part of you really just wants God. And the part of you that that want to curse out everybody and go like, chicken head, I'm crazy, that part of you really just needs God. And when you allow that ache to become a pathway to God and not from God, you get healing. You get healed. You get to stand, wait, God, like, the stuff that used to make me mad don't make me mad no more. Wait, God, when I used to want to text them dudes, ride that dude, that dude, yeah. I don't want to do that no more, God. I want to live in the spirit. I don't want to abide in my flesh because I know that my flesh abides to death. You start thinking like that, and it's like, wow, the peace of God, the love of God, those things become manifested in your life. And you start to say to yourself, wow, God, I can really be alone. Wow, God, I really am loved. Wow, God, I really am worthy of your love. Wow, God, I really can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Wow, God, I am your son. Wow, God, I am your son with whom you're well pleased. Wow, God, I'm not working for affirmation, but I'm walking in affirmation. Wow, God, I am the righteousness of Christ. Wow, God, I am the head, not the tail. Wow, God, I am above and not beneath. Wow, God, I just know you love me. Wow, God, I know you have a plan to prosper me. Wow, God, I know you have good plans for me. Hello, somebody. Wait, okay, I can't be screaming in here. Okay. But let's keep going. Okay. Simply put, you don't just go to God to him and rely on him for the car, but you go to him and rely on him for strength, for love, vision, and daily bread. You just need God, just all in all. It's not about his hand. It's about going to him for him. And I wanted to touch on this too. We often think that because sometimes I like be, you know how you want to say something a certain way and it's like something is in your throat. We often think that idolatry is when people worship tarot cards, or you see the people with crystals and you see the people with money. But you're not slick either, because you worship insecurity. You allow your dreams to die on the altar of insecurity. God gave you a word to write the book, to build the business, to put out the project, be creative, be you. God say, I'm going to give you a word. You let God's word die at the altar of the thing that you're worshiping the most. God didn't say if you had the money to. He didn't say, "Oh, you have everything you need." He said, "No, but what I need you to do is I need you to rely on me for who I am, and I need you to rely on me and be in relationship with me day to day, and I will walk with you to get to that thing." Because we don't realize is that success is not about like looking good for other people, but success is walking through life with God and knowing that even if it does fail, I know that God can work. God can turn what the enemy meant for evil, and he could turn that. He meant it for good. You know, God meant it for good. So he's basically saying that even if you did fail, you don't got to fear failure, because in failure, there still is success, because God is inevitably success. Okay. I just want to say it's a posture to rely on God. It really is. Like, you have to realize it's a posture to rely on him. It's a day-to-day thing. It's a thing you have to do. Okay. I think I may have said this already, but 2 to 3 months of creating content in, I started to rely on my own strength. I was like, man, I'm funny. I could do this. I did touch on that. But I was like, oh, God, like, something isn't right here. Why am I stuck at 1.1 million? Something is out by a long shot. Let's fix it. Fix this. Now I realize, God, I should have never left you in the first place. But I want to give you guys some practical ways to rely on God and to not idolize inadequacy. I want to give you something, some tools. Okay, go to him first for advice, for comfort, for direction. I realize that he cares for me the most, so why would I not go to him? And when I say go to God, I mean in your word. If you want a word, go get you a word. I tell people that all the time. Don't come to me saying you want a word. Don't be running around here like a chicken head, like a chicken with your head cut off. Chicken. But go to God and get that word. Okay. For example, I remember when I was in 9th grade, I always knew I wanted to do content creation. Watch this. But at the same time, I wanted affirmation and support from my friends. I wanted to do something, but at the same time, I needed something from someone else. So I would send them my TikToks. Most of them would not respond and even message me back. Yeah, and I love all of y'all still to this day. And if you see this, I love y'all. But y'all wasn't responding. Y'all wasn't affirming it. Y'all was just liking it just to see, like, oh, this boy just sending these TikToks. But I remember praying that prayer. And I was like, God, like, I know I could do this. And then right then, right when I prayed that prayer, I was at 100K in like 3 weeks. And then all of a sudden, everyone was trying to get close to me. And then in the notes, I said, clock that T. Isn't it crazy how when God start guiding in your life, you have to clock that T, because you do. Number two, make God number one on your list. I know it's easy to be in that I'm going to get that bag no matter what mentality. But at the same time, that bag won't heal those trauma wounds. That bag didn't help my porn addiction. That bag ain't gonna drive them demons out my life. Go to him every morning thirsting for him. He wants to give you all that you need. So prayer matters. Pray without ceasing. Go to God and say, God, I don't know how you gonna bless it, but I know you the blessing. That's a word. Okay, three. If the people of Israel taught me one thing, it's to go to your godly friends and build community. The people of Israel wanted a president over a prophet. You are so wrapped up in the news that you missing what they are saying at your church. You are so wrapped up in the news that you couldn't even get a word at church because you're so wrapped up in what CBS, TDD, BBC, DDD, re, TTG, he. You're so worried about what's happening. You are so worried about the shooting that happened in you're so worried about the shooting that happened two states over that you don't realize that in order for you to make a change, you need to be praying for those people. Don't worship the news. You need to go and worship God at the church. Go to church. So basically, that's what I said is the people is that they wanted someone who could see in just the natural, not someone who could see in the spirit and can discern what God is saying. So they wanted a president over a prophet. And like you just, it's, like I said, it's about being a king priest. You need somebody that can be leading you in one way, but they also are being led by God. You need somebody that can hear from God, but you also need somebody that can, you need somebody that can just lead in general. Okay, get planted in a church. Find a trusted spiritual Christian to help you. You are not in this alone. And I love y'all. Listen, I know this probably was not perfect. I probably was screaming in the mic. I probably was loud. I probably was just like all over the place. I just was excited. I'm out here, y'all. I'm out here in the water. I'm out here deep. I probably said the wrong thing. God will fix it. I probably didn't even do it right. I don't even know how to podcast. I don't know. But all I know is I trust God. My favorite song is I Trust in God, my Savior, the one. He will never fail. So I may fail, but he will never. But you guys, thank you guys for watching this. You can watch it on YouTube and Spotify. All the other links are coming down below soon. Soon, boom, boom, boom. I definitely will get a little bit better with some of this stuff, but yeah, man. I just want to let you guys know that to be encouraged and that your insecurity is not gonna stop you from everything that God has called you to, and that you can do it. And it's not because you can do it, but it's because the person that can do it through you is Jesus, the Holy Spirit. So when I say you can do it, I'm pulling out the Holy Spirit in you. I'm pulling out. I'm telling your flesh, go sit down. I'm telling the Spirit, come on. You know when the pastor said, oh, come on. Y'all ain't hearing me. Come on. Yeah. But I'm gonna have all the links down below. I'm so happy, excited to get this first episode out. I don't know. Look at this shirt, y'all. This is a sample of my clothing brand. This says Self Love Heals. I do believe in I do believe in the God of love comes into us and it heals us. So, you know, I love it. It says, and then on the back of the shirt, it says, I love me so much. And I'm working on getting these out to y'all too. But just be encouraged. Just know I love you. Just know God loves you. Just know God just wanted it. If you ain't get nothing from this, just know God said, come home, baby, come home. You know when your dad call you and you've been out for too long, or you know your mom text you and say, hey, where you been? Come home. God just want to give you a hug. Don't run from your father like that. God said, I'm in the cut with Arrington and Jesus, and I'm vibing. Come on, come join the party. You know, like whenever you, this is not, this. Let me give it to you in context. This is not like how when people say, you know how most people will say things like, what is the word called? Some people will say, oh my gosh, you missed out. Like, you should have came. The invite still stands. The invite still stands until it's too late. But the invite still stands. Come on. Yeah. Come get in the kingdom of heaven. Yeah. The kingdom of heaven is lit. We have authority in Jesus Christ. We seated in heavenly places. You see Jesus to the right and God to the left. Holy Spirit on my neck. And yeah, yeah, yeah. Get in this podcast. A million dollars. Million of God. That's God's money. I'm going to show my tie. I'm going to do it for God. I love God. I love this mic because I can perform like Mike Tyson. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. I love you guys so much, and see y'all later.